If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 1, we'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 26. We'll read down to verse 38. I think I've heard that song before, but it's been a while. Thank you, Allison, for that. I love how it points to the second coming of Christ as well. Christ came the first time 2,000 years ago, and we look forward to the day, and we long for the day when he will return. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel," the sixth month is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, "the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the example that we see in Mary of faith and humility, submission, and obedience. I pray that we can learn and glean from this. Pray that you will grow us, help us to be more and more like what you want us to become, and help our response to Christmas be one that is full of wonder and excitement and thanksgiving and praise to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's Christmas morning, and the kids are coming down the stairs, and then they wake up way before you wake up, right? And they're like, yes, it's Christmas, and they're so excited. They have waited the whole year for this one moment, and they come downstairs, and they see the gifts under the tree, and the biggest one, they always are like, is that one for me? Yes, I hope this one's for me, and they're looking at the gifts, and you know it. You and I love Christmas. As we grow older, we have to look back and just remember what it was like to be a kid, right? And you try to remember the wonder and excitement of coming downstairs and being looking at the gifts. And as an adult, you kind of lose that, don't you? You come downstairs like, probably socks again. I mean, what do you have to be excited about? Like, oh, great, another toothbrush. Okay. But for the kids, oh, it's a different story, isn't it? The wonder, the excitement, the mystery, what is in the box? And some traditions in your family, maybe you wrap the presents and you leave them under the tree for a while, and it kind of like there's more and there's more and there's more, and you watch the pile grow. Anybody got that tradition? That was my family, I think, mostly growing up. How many of you have the tradition where you wait till the night of or the morning of, and you like sneak the presents under the tree? You guys got that one? Okay, so I think my family's done both, and I'm not sure which one I like better. I kind of like the anticipation where you actually get to touch and feel the presents, and you shake them a little bit, and you just have like what seems like months of anticipation to what's coming. Well, anyways, Christmas is, I think, rightfully so, filled with excitement this season. And it's also rightfully so filled with mystery and wonder and awe at what's to come. What's going to happen? Now, The Christmas story that we just read, that first account there, where this angel comes to Mary, that was totally unexpected. Caught her off guard, right? She was just living her life, doing her thing, and she wasn't really, she could not have seen that coming. Now, for our Christmas, it's a little bit different because we have a little bit more anticipation. But if you have the tradition where you wait to put the Christmas presents under the tree, that's kind of more like what Mary had, where she really, until the day it happened, this angel just shows up out of the blue. She had no idea. She wasn't excited about it. I mean, she was probably getting excited about being married, but she wasn't married yet. And then this angel comes into the scene and he's like, hey, I've got this news, and it's kind of a big deal. Okay? So I decided to wrap one of the biggest things that I could find. So this is what I got up here for you. So just hopefully a visual for you to realize, hey, the bigger the gift, the more the excitement, right? Like, I hope it's a bicycle. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted a bike. And there was this huge box under the Christmas tree. And I was like, yes, and it had my name on it. This was one of the years where the pile grew. And throughout December, I'm like, it's going to be a bike. It's going to be a bike. It's going to be a bike. I have no idea. I was probably like 5 years old, maybe 4 or 5. And hopefully I wasn't 6 or 7 because that would be even more embarrassing. I opened the box and my heart just sunk. It was a big wheel. I'm like, am I a little kid? I thought, I'm like, am I like a baby that my parents would get me a big wheel instead of a bike? And I felt so sad. I never told my parents this. They probably saw it on my face, but I felt so sad that I did not get what I thought I was going to get. You ever been there? The excitement is, it's just this huge anticipation. Some of you, maybe it's not Christmas time. Maybe it's just a relationship that you thought was going to work out. And you are pumped about this thing, and you pour time and energy and money into this relationship, and the relationship kind of falls apart, or it fizzles after a while. Or maybe it's even worse, where you go into a relationship, and then you end up like having a fight, and you end up hating each other. There's that kind of, the letdown. Well, the Christmas story is filled with a mixture of emotions. A lot of emotions. There's fear. There's terror. I mean, how often do angels show up and talk to you face to face? That doesn't happen. How often do you hear, hey, you're going to be pregnant, but you've never been with a guy? Okay, that's terrifying. How about if you're Joseph and your wife-to-be is like, hey, I got some news for you. You got to drop that bomb. So there had to be, just this crazy roller coaster of emotions, right? The cool thing about the Christmas story is, though, that God didn't get the gift wrong. You know, you go into Christmas and you hope that you get what you were wanting, right? You have all these desires, this anticipation, and I just want to take you back to the kid days, right? What was the thing that you really, really wanted? Now, for generation to generation, it might be totally different. And I'm sorry, I can't connect with some of you because you're in a different generation. But like some of the generation around my age is like Xbox, 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 PlayStation, please. Some of the older generation maybe was like, hey, Nintendo, something else. So, I'm getting out of my league. So anyways, you have these anticipations, these things that you long for. Maybe it was that red flyer wagon, and you are like, that would be so awesome if I could get fill in the blank. But with God, when he gave Jesus as a gift to the world, he didn't get it wrong. There's no letdown there. And so as we talk through Luke chapter 1 and 2, we're going to highlight some of the responses to the story of Christmas, the message that Jesus was coming into the world. We're just going to look at a bunch of different characters and how they responded. And then from that, I hope that we can draw some conclusions about how we also can respond to the message of Christmas. And what I'm hoping, as a result of spending some of this time in Luke chapter 1 and 2, I'm hoping to inspire some more excitement in your heart towards Christmas. You know, as we grow through the Christian life and we spend a lot of time in the Word of God and we read the Christmas story year after year after year after year, the story never changes. It's always the same. And so it's easy to read the Christmas story without excitement and passion anymore. And it's easy to look past the mystery and the wonder and the surprise and the excitement that is wrapped up in the story. And so I'm hoping to inspire some more excitement in you. Just, hey, let's move back to the years where the story was new. Let's move back to the years where, hey, the wonder and excitement of Christmas season is again something that you can enjoy and participate in. A couple things about excitement and passion and joy. It's contagious. When one person has it, it's easy to give it away. Other people want it. Not always, but a lot of times. You have some excitement in your spirit. You have some joy. You have a smile, and you share that with other people. People like that because it's like God. Another thing, excitement is controlling. You see that with your kids, right, or grandkids. When they are excited about something, they're like out of control. They're like, my son, he like jumps and dances and screams and flails his arms. I'm like, wow, he's really excited. You can't do any, like, you can't constrict that and, like, control that excitement, boy. I can't do that for him. Excitement is controlling. It controls our voice. It controls our actions. It controls what we think about. Right now, I'm really excited about a conversation that me and Pastor Josh had a couple days ago about studying the Bible and discipling people, and I can't stop thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, this is a really exciting thing. Something that you're excited about, it controls your thoughts. And so as we go through the Christmas story, I just wanted you to know, like, as you get excited, allow yourself to get excited. Sometimes you have to let go of the inhibitions of adulthood that hold us back. It holds back the joy. It holds back the wonder. And let go a little bit and be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a little kid around Christmas time this time. And it's okay. Because the God who gave us the story of Christmas was pumped about Christmas, right? And we'll see that in the story. Okay, so I have one question for you, and this is the main thrust of this message, okay? How does God want you to respond to the news of Jesus' birth? That's all we're going to talk about today. How does God want you to respond to the news of Jesus' birth? Now, in order to figure that out, I want to just look at the characters in the Christmas story. And we'll talk about how they responded, and then we'll try to draw some conclusions, because I believe, for the most part, their responses were very appropriate to the news that they were hearing, okay? So we're in Luke chapter 1, and we just read about Mary, okay? And her first initial response was, hey, there's an angel talking to me, and she was troubled, right? In verse 29, I think it said that. It says Mary was a little bit troubled. Probably means she was a mixture of surprised, confused, afraid, maybe terrified, and definitely shocked, okay? And this was before she heard the news that Jesus was going to be born in her, a virgin. This was just, hey, this angel's talking to me. And then he breaks the news. And I want you to see how she responds after he breaks the news to her. He says in verse 37, after she questions, how is this going to happen? He says this phrase in 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And after that statement, and just a kind of a real brief explanation, hey, God's going to do this thing. He's going to overshadow you. He's going to be with you. How does she respond? Verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Her response was filled with faith. She believed what she heard. I mean, it just incredible, incredible. She couldn't have seen it coming. Caught off guard, this heavenly creature is talking to you face to face, and he tells you this incredible message, and she believed it. She accepted it as from the Lord, okay? So her first response that we see to the message of Christmas and the news that Jesus is coming is one of faith, and also one of humble submission. She was very, very humble. She just said, okay, and she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. That's like, hey, I'm God's servant. So basically, whatever God tells me to do, that's what I'll do. Very humble response. Kind of a neat way to look at it. Elizabeth, her cousin, labels her response as believing. She says later in this chapter that Mary believed God, and she claimed a blessing for Mary. The second response that we see is actually John the Baptist unborn. Okay, so this is kind of weird. We're in Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Mary gets this news that she's going to have a baby. She found out from the angel that her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant. And so she goes and she's like, I'm going to go talk to Elizabeth. And so she does. Verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and saluted her cousin Elizabeth. Came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, what happened? Baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, babies move around, you know, not uncommon, right? Especially 6 months, you're going to feel that baby move, right? However, what's different about this situation is this. What happens when Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, she says something that reveals something different about what happened with the baby, okay? Verse 42. Elizabeth spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, verse 44, as soon as the voice of thy salutation, that's the greeting, sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for what? For joy. Is that crazy? The mom's like, my baby is filled with joy right now because you came in. Okay, so the mystery of Christmas kind of got weird, but it's like kind of a good weird, right? There's this baby that knows there's another baby, and the baby that knows that there's another baby is jumping for joy, and they're both unborn, okay? This is really interesting. But Elizabeth says this because she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she knows what's going on. So that's something we have to take by faith in this story, right? And verse 45, Elizabeth's continuing to talk, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Elizabeth proclaims this blessing over Mary. Her baby jumped for joy. So the second response to Christmas in the story that Jesus is coming to the earth is this little baby John jumping in for joy in his mother's womb. Very, very excited. Maybe that's where the kids get it at Christmas time. After that, Mary says something very, very profound, and she spent some time worshiping God in verse 46. She said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. So she humbly accepts the blessing of God. And then she talks about God himself, verse 49. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. That means he exalted the humble. He put down the proud. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So Mary, in this Magnificat, is what it's called in Latin, is this passage of praise and worship. So Mary now worships God. Not only does she humbly, by faith, accept what God chose for her, she worships God and praises him and says, you know what? I'm accepting this as a gift from God, a blessing from God, and I'm going to rejoice to know him and just praise God. Okay? That's got to be a hard place to be, okay? She's pregnant, but she's not married, okay? So she accepts that. We're going to jump We're going to jump in time quite a bit to chapter 2. And look at the shepherds. How did they respond to the message that Jesus was coming into the world? The shepherds. Luke 2, verse 16 through 20. Again, another angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts come and deliver this message to the shepherds. In Luke 2, 16, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered." They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then verse 20, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." So the shepherds searched and found baby Jesus after they received the message. And then they glorified and praised God. All of this is to answer the question, how should we respond? How should we respond to the story of Jesus' birth? Luke 2:19, we just skipped over it. When the shepherds came and they told them that the angels came and delivered this awesome message, it says, Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. She treasured those things. A couple more characters and we'll be done. Simeon in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Simeon was probably the first one in the story that was actually expecting something. God had revealed to Simeon that he would not pass away, he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he's the first one in the story that's not caught off guard. He's waiting, he's looking, he's anticipating, and he actually comes to the temple that day led by God, and he knows today's the day. Today's the day. And so God had appointed for Simeon to meet his Messiah. Can you imagine the excitement, the anticipation? For all of his life, he has waited for one moment. I'm going to see him. I'm going to see the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I'm going to see him with my eyes. I'm going to hold him. I'm going to touch him. God told me I'm not going to die until I see him. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." That word Christ just means Messiah. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him as after the custom of the law, then took he up, him up in his arms and blessed God." I mean, it's exciting to hold a newborn baby. It is. It doesn't matter who it is or whose baby it is. I mean, you're like, oh, I want to touch it. isn't it so cute? But this is like super, super special. This isn't just any baby. This is the Son of God baby. And Simeon gets to touch him, and he holds him in his arms. And what does he do? What's his response to the news and the truth of Jesus Christ and the message of Christmas? It says that he took him in his arms and he blessed God. And then he said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." So he physically gets to see it with his own eyes. This is the salvation of Israel. This is the Savior of the world. And he even says in his prophecy over little baby Jesus, he says, this is not only the Savior of my people, but it's the light to the nations. This is going to be the Savior of the world. Amazing, amazing. He blessed God. Joseph and Mary marvel at this response, what Simeon said. They didn't know. They might not have known the scope of what Jesus would do or the power that Jesus would have. They heard this prophecy over Jesus in verse 33. It says, "Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him," as spoken of Jesus. Two more individuals, how did they respond to Jesus' birth? Anna is next. She's in the temple that day as well. There was one, verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived in a with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. I think that's 84 years. That's a long time. So she's pretty old. She, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So Anna's response, again, a godly lady. She loved the Lord. She comes in. She sees what's going on with Simeon. She sees the baby. And she immediately gives thanks to God and tells other people about God. So Anna's response is pretty exciting. She worships, Simeon worships, Joseph and Mary marvel. They're just like, wow, whoa. Didn't expect this. Didn't see it coming. This is amazing. What kind of kid is this? I mean, they already know, like, there's a special thing about this baby. And lastly, not in Luke, but in Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. The wise men from the east. The wise men of the east, how do they respond to the news of Jesus? It says in Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. This is after they've journeyed all the way to Israel. So they're from out of the country. They've come all the way to Israel. They ask, where's this king of the Jews? Obviously, a king's been born. Can't you see it? It's in the sky. It's like Lion King. Like, we saw it in the sky. There's this new king. So they come from miles away, different country. They're really interested. Hey, we're coming to give these gifts and worship this king. Where is he? They find out from some priests and researchers in Jerusalem that the king isn't born in Jerusalem. Well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So they kind of head that way, and then they see the star. When they see the star, what is their response? Yes! They're probably jumping up and down. It says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They are so, so excited. They've given their lives to study the stars. And they see it, and then they go, and yes, there's his star. We see it. I don't know what they saw. I'm curious. Was it a comet? Was it some kind of eclipse? Something that drew them to Bethlehem. Verse 11, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and did what? Worshipped him, then opening their treasures, they offered him what? Gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. They rejoice. They're so excited. They come in. They find this little baby, or at this time point in time, he's probably maybe 1 year old. Some time has passed since he was given birth in the stable, and then they fall down. And what the word worship means, it's like they got their face on the floor. And then they give Jesus these costly, precious gifts. And I think our Christmas giving is modeled somewhat after that event. So how does God want you and me to respond to the news of Jesus' birth in this season? I've got one simple answer for you and a few other things to consider. My answer is to be excited about Christmas. Be excited about Christmas. You guys remember, you might have to look back years and years and years. Some of you are little kids inside anyways. But you remember the excitement, the anticipation, the dreaming, the imagining, the shaking of the gifts. You remember that. But I don't want you to be excited about Christmas for that. I don't. And you figure that out. You're adults now. Some of you are like, maybe you're excited about the gift giving and the presents and things, but you're adults. You grew up, and that's not that great anymore. It's lost its luster. But there's still something to be excited about at Christmas time. It's not the American consumerism that our culture pushes on us. That's not that exciting. In fact, some people go into debt just to buy gifts. I want you to be excited about God taking on flesh and coming and living with us. I want you to be excited that God stepped into our story, became a man. He took on flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. That's exciting. He invaded our world in the best way possible so that he could come and rule and reign in our world as the Prince of Peace, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to be excited about him. I want you to be excited about the transition from a history of darkness and silence and no word from God for 400 years. And people are just like, where is God? Where is he? Why doesn't he come? Why doesn't he come and fix this stupid, broken world? Why doesn't he fix my family? Why doesn't he fix this culture? Why doesn't he fix the corrupt government? When is God going to come in and fix everything? Because he promised to. And the story of Christmas is the intrusion of God into our world in physical form. And he didn't come at that time to set up a kingdom of physical power. He came at that time to set up a kingdom of spiritual power, where he would break the power of sin and death and darkness, and where there was no hope, he made a way. And when there was no way, he turned the key to open the door to heaven that no one else could turn. That's the story of Christmas. Now, I want you to be excited about that, but I want you to be excited about something else with Jesus. You say, Jesus came, and while he was here on this earth, he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again that you may come and be with me where I am. So Jesus not only came the first time to conquer sin, to conquer death, and to reign in our hearts as spiritual king, but he's coming again. And so Christmas is not only a time where we look back on history and say, you know what, 2,000 years ago there was this irrelevant story that doesn't really impact me today. No. The story of Christmas is totally relevant because if Jesus came one time and he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies, there are still hundreds of prophecies to fulfill later. So miraculously, Jesus comes into the world. He astonishes crowds. He astonishes the people who come and hear of his birth. There's angels who celebrate and sing his praise. The shepherds come. They're amazed. What just happened? Mary treasures these things in her heart. She goes to the temple to dedicate Jesus. They run into Simeon. Simeon lifts up the baby and he prophesies over the baby. This is going to be the light of the world. Anna comes in. She gives thanks to God and praises God. The wise men come later on that year. They fall down on their faces, worship God, give gifts to Jesus. And now what can we do? What can we do with the story of Christmas? How should we respond? And I say this, it's okay. It's okay to be excited a little bit. Excitement's contagious. If you're excited about Christmas for the right reason, hey, That's so much opportunity to share with other people. Man, I'm so pumped about Christmas. I'm so pumped. I'm so excited because Jesus came into the world at Christmas time. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the decorations. It's not about the music and the songs. It's not about getting together with family. It's about Jesus. He came into the world and changed everything. He changed history. He changed my life. He can change your life. Get excited about Christmas. Get excited about Christmas. And get excited about Jesus coming back. Remember that. Hold on to his promises. Simeon had to wait his whole life. Anna, a widow for 84 years, 7 years married before that. Old lady in her 90s at least. No, 100. She has got to be over 100. All right? Hold on to the promise that Jesus is coming back. Don't let go of it. Don't forget it. Keep it out there in front of you. Hebrews 12:1. Run that race with endurance, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus. I'll leave you with this. Christina, and I can't remember her last name, a poet of the past, Christina Rossetti, wrote a poem called In the Bleak Midwinter. It says this, "What shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? give him my heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe you're not super excited about Christmas because of him. Maybe you're excited for other reasons. If you don't know Jesus, I invite you to come today. This is the best story. This is the best news you could ever hear. Jesus came into the world to give you the hope of eternal life with God, the forgiveness of your sins, if you would repent and turn away from your sins and come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm all in. I want to follow you. I want to give you my heart.